Russian.
Yes, sir. Okay, now.
And interviews on Access Sacramento and The Voice. I'm Steve Lerman. If you're just joining us, we're listening to the debate about legalizing drugs. You can hear this program at 96.5 FM in the Sacramento area, or you can go to accesssacramento.org, or you can download it from greatspeechesandinterviews.blogspot.com.
According to government statistics, fully 47% of Americans over the age of 12 have done so. So when we are talking about what drug legalization would look like, first off, it's all marijuana use. Vanishingly small people and percentage of people use drugs other than marijuana. But let me just say, there's not a single dimension across which pot is more dangerous than alcohol, which is pretty much all you need to know about a post-prohibition American society. It would be a lot like today, except that you would have one or two more choices in your medicine cabinet, and about 400,000 fewer people a year would go to jail. Police would be able to focus on actual criminals, and Monday mornings would be a lot easier to face. So please, think about legalizing drugs. Thank you.
Thank you, Nick Gillespie. And that's our motion, legalize drugs. And now, our final debater speaking against this motion, Theodore Dalrymple. He is a retired doctor who practiced in an inner-city hospital and a prison. He is also a prolific writer, and he is a fellow at the Manhattan Institute. Ladies and gentlemen, Theodore Dalrymple.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, it's alleged by the proposers of this motion that the harms that arise from illicit drug-taking, production and distribution arise because of their illegality and not because of their nature. And that, therefore, if we could only just go down to our local corner store to pick up our crack or our phencyclidine or our methamphetamine or our heroin or our LSD, etc., the harms would be eliminated and very much reduced. Anyway, it is not so that the harms arise from illegality. In this country, about as many people now die annually from opioid poisoning as from homicide. Those fatal opioids are overwhelmingly prescription drugs obtained perfectly legally. About 15,000 a year die of these drugs. But the supply and demand of them arose suddenly in a matter of a handful of years, and it was all nice and above board. There are now said to be 2 million addicts to these drugs, and all, as I said, created perfectly legally. In Scotland as a whole, and in Dublin, more people are now dying of a perfectly legal drug, methadone, and this drug is used in the supposed treatment of heroin addiction. So the legal drug is now killing more than the illegal drug. So it's not true that the harms of drugs arise only from their illegality. We've seen that even if every homicide in this country, every single one, were the result of the illicit trade in drugs, deaths from legally obtained opioids would equal to deaths from that trade. It's also alleged by the proposers that criminality is caused, more or less, by the illegality of drugs. And again, this is not so. In the prison in which I worked, I discovered that the heroin addicts who were imprisoned there and had committed, they had committed between 50 and 200 offences before they ever took heroin. Therefore, it would be more true to say that they were addicts because they were criminal than that they were criminal because they were addicts. This has been found elsewhere, and research shows that criminality is a better predictor of addiction than is addiction of criminality. And criminal gangs are not going to file for bankruptcy if drugs are legalized. They're going to change their activities. So making the importation or production, distribution and sale of drugs would be dangerous, and it would not have the claimed benefits, because the illegality of drugs is the occasion and not the cause of crime. And therefore, ladies and gentlemen, I ask you to vote against the motion.
Thank you, Theodore Dalrymple. And that concludes round one of this Intelligence Squared U.S. debate, where our motion is legalize drugs. We have two teams of two arguing out this motion, legalize drugs. The team arguing for the motion, Paul Butler and Nick Gillespie, are arguing, you've heard them say that partly it's a freedom thing, that grown-ups have the right to put what they want in their own bodies. But beyond that, they say that the war on drugs costs in too many ways without a resulting drop in crime significantly, and that it disproportionately hits the African-American community in terms of people getting locked up behind bars simply for possession of drugs. The team arguing for the motion, Asa Hutchinson and Theodore Dalrymple, they're saying you cannot say that the war on drugs has failed, not when drug use among Americans has dropped 50% in 30 years. They also point to the fact that drugs and crime and addiction go together. Those are some of the arguments we've heard presented, and we're going to work through some of them in more detail now. And I want to go first to the team arguing against the motion to legalize drugs. Your opponents have made the claim that the war on drugs as constructed really is a war on young black kids, that it is, that the number of kids who are put in jail is just disproportionately high and has had terrible consequences on the community. And I want to know, does your side concede or refute that basic claim? Asa Hutchinson.
Well, I think it's an issue that has to continually be looked at. I think there was a disparity in penalties that impacted our African-American community when it came to crack and powder cocaine. We made a huge step forward. Congress passed a remedy to that. I think there's been some challenges with the mandatory minimums. We've made some corrections in that as well. But methamphetamine. That's such a huge problem across all of the Midwest. That's predominantly a Caucasian drug, and that's where the law enforcement is enforcing its efforts right now. So I don't concede the point at all, but I think you look at the African-American communities, and we have a significant amount in Arkansas. We have high poverty rates, high unemployment rates right now. We have many social problems that are impacted by that community, and it's reflected also in what happens in the drug world.
All right, let's go to the other side. Paul Butler, do you want to respond to that?
Yeah, it's just not true. AZA makes it sound like blacks use drugs more than anybody else, and as anyone who's been to college or high school knows, it's simply not true. We really shouldn't be talking about legalizing drugs. We should be talking about re-legalizing them. For most of our history, drugs have been perfectly legal. You could go into a drugstore in the 1800s and buy opium. Coca-Cola started out with a cocaine derivative in it. So what made them become legal? Illegal. Nothing to do with public safety. It was all about race. First drug criminalized, opium. San Francisco, 1890. The concern was that Chinamen were using it to seduce white women. Can trace it right down the line. Marijuana, Mexican field hands. It was making them lazy. With blacks, it was that coconized Negroes were running rampant in the South. So our war on drugs is about race through and through. It always has been, and it is right now.
But I have a question for you that I would like to ask. You know, we didn't really cover this, and that is how the legalization would work. Take heroin or methamphetamine, I would presume if it's legalized, the state would be granting licenses so that you can regulate the purity and the quality of the heroin and that the methamphetamine is quality stuff. So I am curious, one, is this not another government regime that's being created with a libertarian argument that you're creating? So you're creating more government by your libertarian approach wanting to legalize drugs because they're going to have to regulate it and tax it. So how's that going to work?
I respectfully submit that I have never taken a drug strong enough for that argument to be convincing.
April morning, summer comes soon, clouds follow after. Morning sun is hidden by noon, day shrouded over. Tears to face the morning news, we watch our future burn and wonder if we'll ever learn that words can save us. War in broken promised land, fame, fear and gunfire. Cowboy culture, blood on its hands, flag, fuel and empire. Bid parts for shooting stars above the dying trees. No one looking up to see how words can save us. Number one, favorite son, one more outsider. Army drops its cluster bombs, boy sees his future. World, are you listening now? This fool just had his day. Who'll be brave enough to say that words can save us? World, are you listening now? This fool just had his day. Who'll be brave enough to say that words can save us?
And now back to the debate about legalizing drugs.
In Colorado, the initiative that was passed for marijuana legalization was basically, I mean, it was out there, and it's a similar thing in Washington State, to treat marijuana like wine, beer, and alcohol. But it's not a choice between anarchy and, a ratcheted down regulatory system. The real question is about legalizing drugs. Do you consider alcohol to be legal? Let's have a regime that is very similar to that for currently illegal substances.
Let me step in and ask Paul Butler something. Paul, you drew a distinction between treating addiction and punishing addiction, which suggests that perhaps unlike your partner, you're talking about addiction as a problem that needs to be addressed by the society. In other words, are you saying drug use is a problem?
Well, I think addiction is a medical issue, and I think Nick and I agree that only a small percentage of people who use drugs become addicted to it. So most people are able to use marijuana and other drugs recreationally and go to work the next day. Most people are also able to do that with alcohol. For the percentage of people who have substance abuse problems with it, we know, the good doctor knows, that's a health issue. So the way to treat that problem is to use what we know about medicine and not what we know about locking people up, because what we know about locking people up is it doesn't work.
Dr. Dalrymple.
Well, I actually don't agree that addiction is fundamentally a medical problem. And
you think it's a moral problem?
I do, yes.
Wow.
And a moral problem and a social problem and a psychological problem and a spiritual problem, and it's only to a very small extent a medical problem. I mean, there are medical consequences, of course, but this is not what is important.
Let me ask your partner, Asa Hutchinson, but we've heard a few references to alcohol, and the nation did try, amended the Constitution to outlaw alcohol consumption and decided it was a mistake. What's the difference between alcohol and the prescribed drugs?
Well, they're all problematic drugs subject to abuse. The debate question tonight, though, of course, is legalizing all drugs. And again, I go back to the question, which relates to ending prohibition in late 1920s. You ended prohibition on alcohol, use went up, availability went up, regulation went up, taxation went up, and you compare that to legalizing methamphetamine. You're going to have an opportunity for the state to regulate methamphetamine producers, and it's going to be taxed, and so the price will be set by the marketplace, which is regulated and taxed. And so the question is, will you end crime? Will you end the cartels? Will you end the black market because you regulate methamphetamine? Of course not. And so all of your hope of ending the DEA or ending law enforcement will not happen with legalization.
Here, you know, I think Nicholas, there's a major kind of conceptual error when we're talking about crime here. When we know that Mexican drug cartels are killing people on both sides of the border, when's the last time you heard about a Dos Equis shootout where a beer distributor crossing
hundreds of times. Most murders are committed under the influence of alcohol.
The last time you heard about that sort of thing was during alcohol prohibition.
Are you going to have a black market for methamphetamine?
Sure.
Absolutely.
You know what? We already do. What would happen is if we had a legal one, the other social harms would be reduced.
Here I just make a couple of small points. When we look at the murder rate during Prohibition, it is, of course, perfectly true that it went up. But in the same period before Prohibition, the murder rate went up by 85%. And in 6 years, between 1900 and 1906, the murder rate in this country went up by 325%. So I think that the relationship between violent crime and prohibition is probably not nearly as close as people imagine.
Can I interrupt, though, and ask a question from something that Asa Hutchinson said earlier, in which he reported that in the last 30 years, the use of drugs by Americans has declined 30%, and 50%, and he sees that correlation being directly related to causation, that the drug war actually means that fewer Americans use drugs. Are you impressed by that statistic, Paul Butler?
I'm not, in part because we have to do our cost-benefit analysis. If that's true, is it worth it? The cost have been 2.5 million people in prison. The cost have been 1 in 3 young black men with a criminal case. The cost have been billions of dollars that we can't afford.
Nicholas.
I'd like to defer to the experience and the expertise of the opposition to legalization, but I'm left wondering what world we're talking about here. And here are the stats that are important. The government runs something called the National Survey on Drug Use and Health. Basically, in the past month use, they asked people, have you used this drug in the past 30 days, which is kind of a proxy for, you know, a regular user or a casual user. About 7% of people over the ages of 12, 12-year-olds, by the way, it's, you know, almost 100%, they say yes to everything. But about 7% of Americans say that they've used pot in the past month. By far, by a factor of 3 or more, that's the most widely used illegal drug or legal drug that's used illegally. When you're talking about things like meth and heroin, 0.1%, hallucinogens covering a wide range of things, 0.5%, crack or cocaine including crack, 0.6%, these are non-factors. And as Paul was suggesting, if they're made legal, who out here is going to be like, finally, heroin is legal? You know, let's try it. No. Okay, that's not going to happen. It's about pot.
I think logic tells you usage goes up. And this debate is not about marijuana. It is drugs, plural. And to be consistent in your philosophy of libertarianism, which my colleagues are consistent, they recognize it doesn't do any good to legalize one. You have to legalize all. And if you because that's the only way you're going to change the environment of enforcement, to change the environment of police. And so the debate tonight is about legalizing all drugs.
I'm John Donvan, and you're listening to Intelligence Squared U.S., Oxford-style debating on America's shores. Four panelists are arguing for and against this motion. It is time to legalize drugs. Stay with us. I'm John Donvan, and you're listening to Intelligence Squared U.S., Oxford-style debating on America's shores. Welcome back to the program.
All right, let's go to some questions from the audience. And I want to remind you that we are now in the question and answer section of this Intelligence Squared U.S. debate. I'm John Donvan, your moderator. We have four debaters, two against two, who are arguing it out over this motion, legalize drugs. Sir.
I'd like to understand a bit more, Mr. Hutchinson, the comments you made about that we can't legalize one without essentially legalizing them all, that it's not useful. But historically, we have legalized one very major drug, and that is alcohol. Why wouldn't legalizing just one more, say going with heroin, that's not heroin, but going with marijuana... Got to pick the right one. Why wouldn't going one step further and thus removing the tremendous amount of people who are in jail for that and all the money that's going to the criminals itself today, why wouldn't that be
Ace
useful?
Hutchinson, thank you.
You're right. We're a democracy, so you could choose to legalize heroin if you wish or marijuana and pick one of them. But my argument would be generally people say, well, one of the reasons we need to legalize because you got to put the cartels out of business. Well, they're smart business folks, and they have diversified. So if you legalize marijuana, they're going to trade in cocaine, methamphetamine, and they will market those. But the second point is simply that the debate topic is not just about marijuana. It is broad-based legalization because, well, that's the debate topic, and that's what we're trying to stick to.
So if somebody wants to use any of the drugs that are currently illegal, aside from the fact that they're breaking the law, just in terms of the little bubble of their own life, is that anybody's business but their own? In other words, where is the social dimension to that use?
Well, the social dimension is, and I hate to keep speaking of methamphetamine, but that's a real problem where I'm from. And methamphetamine, you're manufacturing it, you've got children around, taking the methamphetamine and they're abandoning their kids for weeks on end. And so it's a child welfare issue that is extraordinarily harmful. It is environmentally unsafe. So
and
those
in your
are
world,
some societal
in,
problems.
In your world, for somebody to get help, they have to admit that they're a criminal.
No, you can go get treatment anytime you want to.
And
you don't have
admit
to admit
that you've broken the law.
Well, of course, you know that if somebody has a problem with an addiction and they go into a clinic, they're not going to get arrested for it. They're going to get help and they're going to get treatment. And that's the goal in the workplace, too. If you do testing and you find a worker who has got an abuse problem, they're not sending the police. They're sending them treatment. And that's the objectives of the employers, and that's working well in the workplace. And all of that effort would be abandoned if you went through legalization. All of a sudden, why would you drug test anybody?
That's a good question. Why do we now? Because most people who get drug tested, you get drug tested when you're applying for a job and that's it. It's a hurdle to weed out people who, you know, on other grounds. And just to follow up on one point, the reason why I'm stressing marijuana goes back to some things that Paul is saying, and I don't think that the other side is fully acknowledging, which is that the use ratios are pot, much less prescription drugs, and then these tiny vanishing statistical errors of things like heroin. Even if you double or triple the heroin use, it goes from 0.1 or 1/10 of 1% of Americans to 3/10 of 1%. I don't think that's a reason to hold everyone else hostage who can act responsibly.
Well, I mean, in terms of the numbers, if you're looking at marijuana use in the schools, I just come back to the fundamental question. If you legalize it, two things happen. One, the kids say, if it's legal for my folks, how could it be harmful? The government says it's legal now. And usage goes up because of that. Secondly, the availability
goes up. Nobody thinks tobacco is okay because it's legal.
Well, hello, Sarah Palin.
Michelle Bachman. Honey, you gotta lighten up on that raccoon look. I almost shot ya. Hey, you know, speaking of shots, did I hear you say that the HPV vaccination was dangerous?
A woman came up to me and claimed the vaccination had ruined her daughter's mental capacities.
And you believed her?
Well, sure. She was my mom.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Hey, you know, there's a lot of debate about whether which one of us is the darling of the Tea Party, but I don't think we should fight. It's tough enough being a gal in the good old boy world of politics. We should just settle our differences like mature ladies.
Well, what'd you have in mind? A debate?
I was thinking more like an evening gown swimsuit competition.
Sarah, one thing I've learned is it's really best to think twice before you open your mouth. Please hear these words of advice.
Okay.
Don't go faking you're smart.
I couldn't if I tried.
I know the whole Constitution 'cause it's tattooed on my thigh.
Don't go taking my part.
Last year your chest size went up.
I had some surgery done there, and now I wear a teacup. What's the big deal?
Ooh,
America knows it. America knows.
Right from the start, they called you a tart.
Ooh, the voters all know.
The voters all know.
Our IQ is clear.
But what people fear,
ooh, we're Glenn Beck in brassieres.
And now for something completely different.